760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, and welcome to The Morning Quest, where it is our goal to help you find joy in the journey. And we are so grateful that you are here with us this morning. I am Allison DeLoll, and I am here with my co-host, Josh Harris. Good morning, Josh.
Hola.
Hola. And Dave Savage is here as well.
Good morning.
What a great morning. Isn't it beautiful outside?
Mm-hmm. A little chilly, but nice.
A little chilly, but beautiful.
But you know, I like chilly.
With crackers?
Yeah. Look at me with the dad jokes.
Maybe
this
some
morning.
Cornbread.
There you go. Cornbread in your chili, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's a...
Seriously?
I've never done that.
I thought it was, you know, sour cream and, like, cheese and...
Oh, that too.
And cornbread.
Yeah. But none for me while I'm on Weight Watchers.
No, how many points would the cornbread chili soup
It adds a lot of points. It does. Yeah.
You have one... That was like your cereal. That'd be just like... You'd be good the rest of the day then.
Well, not quite, but yeah. Okay. It would dig into the point value for the day, yes.
Well, okay. You know what I would know what's going to help us be good for the day? Why don't you start us off with prayer,
like
Josh?
I would like to say a prayer. Yeah, I'm going to open with this line, our memory verse.
Yes.
John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Lord, help us follow you as I say, our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen. And hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, and as I'm looking at our Bible verse, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Mm-hmm. You know, just I was talking to Dave before the show started, and what an exciting day I had yesterday. You know, my oldest and I went to Costco, and I saw three people I hadn't seen in the longest time, and it was just so much fun. And I just think to myself, what a gift that was, right? To see people that you know. And just to talk to them.
Yeah, I do think God is full of unexpected surprises. What's that phrase I've heard? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Have you heard of that one? I've certainly had my fair share of, beautiful pop quizzes, right? And and so that's certainly a gift for sure. What was I going to say? I had something interesting that I wanted to unpack. You know, I'm going to get it to it in the news section. But anyway, I'm drawing a little blank here. But that's fine. So who are your friends that you saw?
I saw Nyla from St. Michael the Archangel. She's a choir director. And then I saw another a lady that I know from the neighborhood I used to live in. And it's been so long. We're Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And it was just so beautiful because she saw me and I was talking to Nyla and the other lady's waving at me. And then I saw a lady with her son. And it's been so long. And it's so amazing how the Lord works, how he just plants people
in our lives.
In our lives at different times.
Yeah, I had something. Actually, I do remember what I was going to say. So I got a text message from this guy who helped me build something at my house that I hired. And for whatever reason, he saw some of my breviaries and he was like, are you in seminary? I was like, well, no. He's like, you have a lot of Bibles. Well, they weren't all Bibles. They were like prayer books, but it looked like I was maybe an antique Bible collector or something. So I was wondering, like, how do I share the faith? Should I share something with this guy? You know, you get that stirring, but I'm like, oh, gosh, I guess I've got to, I don't know, I just got to come in with a sledgehammer, I guess. Do you know the Lord? I mean, that's not always the smoothest way in. But he opened the door. He's like, are you in seminary? And I was like, no. But for whatever reason, I said, do you go to church somewhere? And he said, oh, yeah, I started kind of going back to this place, St. Bridget. I was like, oh, like, here we go. Thanks for the alley-oop, God. And so we start talking. And by the end of the time, I invited him to Pack the Cathedral, this young adult prayer event. And so he's like, maybe, I'm not sure, like, my schedule's kind of busy. Well, they rescheduled it to this Friday. And so it's an hour, it's a holy hour,
yeah.
Eucharistic adoration. And so he's like, I said, hey, man, he looked it up, actually. Like, actually, it's not this Friday. He's like, I looked it up. I think it's the following Friday. I'm like, wow, this guy's into it. He'd like reach back to me. I'm like,
he's calling out.
Thanks for letting me know. I'm like, I would have showed up there like a Lone Ranger. And so he messaged me yesterday and he was like, hey, man, I really appreciate that Litany of Trust prayer card you gave me. Do you have any rosary prayer cards like that? I'm like, dude, this guy's coming in hot for the win, bro. Like,
wow.
This is amazing. So, again, this guy prompted me. There's this really great prayer book. You can get them, I think, through Aquinas Press called My Rosary Prayer Book. And it's my favorite like pocket-sized rosary prayer book. It's probably like 70 pages, 60 pages or so. Got the history of the rosary, scriptural way to pray the rosary. And his prompt, I was like, yeah, I can do one better. So I went online and I ordered like a 12-pack of these books.
Nice.
And so hopefully they'll get it in time. If they don't, I'll mail one to them. But like you talked about, Allison, intersecting with people that are unexpected, that sometimes they inspire you to take it a step further.
Oh, they do. But it happens in the most amazing places, yeah. Right? So we just have to keep our eyes open and just be ready. The Lord surprises us wherever we go.
Absolutely. And speaking of surprises and bumping into special guests, we got some special guests today. We got Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ, our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia. St. Odo of Canterbury and St. Odo of Canterbury is on the show today. This is an interesting episode you want to tune into.
Stay tuned.
Our buddy Chuck Persian will be talking about St. Odo of St. Odo of Canterbury, abbot and bishop on our Get Acquainted with the Sainted segment. John Henry Spann, most of Honest to God, is going to be talking about his incredible story of living off the land with his family. And coming up next, Brandon Doty, parishioner. Look at me. I'm all thumbs today, man. Parishioner of Mary Our Queen is back. We'll be continuing his conversation about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and path to perfection in Christ.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are so happy to have Brandon Doty back. He is a parishioner at Mary Our Queen, and he is going to be continuing his conversation about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paths to perfection in Christ. And this morning, he's going to be diving into wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. So welcome back, Brandon.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me back. It's so good to see you guys again and to be with you.
Amen. We love having you here. Always inspire us with such beautiful information. So what do we have today?
Well, last time we talked about, the kind of three of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to talk about the first four, which are wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and counsel. Mm-hmm. And when you think about those four, they kind of all sound the same.
They do.
And so a lot of times people ask, like, what is the difference? And then how do you cultivate these? So the gifts are a little different than the fruits of the Holy Spirit, in that the fruits, we all kind of have our specific one or two fruits that the Holy Spirit has given us. But the gifts, we can have all of them. We can have all seven. If we cultivate them and if we develop those. And so wanted to kind of dive into thinking about how do we develop like wisdom?
Yeah.
And what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge and counsel and understanding? And when you think about wisdom, it's seeing things from a divine perspective. And to do that, it's cultivating kind of a taste and a hunger for all things God, right? That it's more than just having knowledge about something. It's that deep, deep understanding of all the things that God loves. Probably the most prominent one when we think about wisdom is King Solomon, and just that relationship that he developed with God and how we can do the same. And to cultivate that is, Josh, you kind of nailed it at the beginning, is praying the rosary. And you think about all the things that we pray about, those mysteries that we pray about and meditate on as we pray the rosary and how we develop a real heart of God when we do that. And that's such a beautiful gift to have the rosary to pray. Mm-hmm. That develops that gift of wisdom within us.
And you know what's so beautiful too, Brandon, that you said a few minutes ago that made me very happy to hear that we could have all of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, correct?
That's right.
So it's not like there's certain ones that are given.
Like you're wise, I have counsel, you over here have piety. No, they're available to all of us.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that you bring up is so important in alignment with prayer, Brandon, is that phrase gift. So a gift is something that's received. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you pray, you receive grace, insight, you know, wisdom, all these things from God. We're trying to unite our will better with His. And I think that's so encouraging that a lot of times that we can just stay in a posture of prayer, humility, you know, grow closer to the Lord in a sacramental rhythm and receive the gifts He has on the other end of that. And it's not something that we have to roll up our sleeves and intensely try to fortify, like, you know, going to the gym putting more weight on the barbell.
That's right. And so I think that's a really great point. Like prayer in and of itself, you know, helps us cultivate the gift of understanding. Mm-hmm. And you think about understanding of seeing God's plan more clearly, of having that holy insight into everything that we do. And that comes from prayer. Yeah. Like we really, that, to use your analogy, Josh, of like, if we're going to exercise mm-hmm. that, and we're going to develop that, prayer is really the place to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you like to, I guess, well, two things. Restate, for those just tuning in, what were those three gifts you're harping on today, Brandon?
Well, the four. That's wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. Mm-hmm. And so wisdom and understanding are the first two we talked about. So think about counsel. Like, okay, now what's the difference between counsel and knowledge?
Exactly, yeah.
And counsel is that ability for us to use our free will to make right choices.
Nice.
Right? And sorting out our good instincts from our bad instincts. And so a lot of times we think we can do something and maybe we can't, or we can't do something and maybe we can. Mm-hmm. And counsel or even how we share that with other people, like what you talked about this morning, Josh, mm-hmm. that all of a sudden someone's coming to you and they're hungry and they're wanting something more. And how do we, you know, talk to them in a way that speaks to where they are? Mm-hmm. And that's what counsel does. And we can develop that within ourselves by examining our conscience, right? Of availing of ourselves of the sacrament of reconciliation, mm-hmm. of really knowing who we are, maybe where we fall short, and what we need to do to keep on that right path. And so that to me is where counsel kind of differs from the other four.
And you know, when you're talking about reconciliation and kind of looking within where we fall short, that's important, because I know pride can really kick in to blind us of areas that we need to work on.
Boy, that's right.
Confess.
That's right.
I mean, right here raising my hand. So I loved how you said that, right? Confession and just really looking inside to see what we need to work on so we can gain this gift and actually have this gift to share with others.
Right. That's right. And then the final one, knowledge, is kind of the foundation of thinking about knowledge as discernment of God's revelation to us and us understanding our place in that and how, you know, all the saints that have come before us, how that intersects with God's plan, and then where we fit within that. And so seeing what God sees is really kind of the cornerstone of knowledge. And we develop that by just reading. And it could be scripture, it could be spiritual reading, but just filling our minds with the things of God and helping us grow in our understanding of Him.
It's fantastic. Now, if someone's listening and they're saying, you know, I really wish I could cultivate a deeper understanding of these gifts. Is there a place they can go, Brandon? Are there resources that have particularly helped you?
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I'd say the first thing that you could do is read the daily readings, mm-hmm. you know, of maybe you can't make it to daily mass. A lot of us can't go to mass every day, but we certainly can, you know, pull up the app on your phone or open the Bible, read what the daily readings are. I think, you can do something very simple, like what we did when we started the show, of just praying the Our Father. You think about what an awesome and complete prayer that is, that Christ gave us. That alone just kind of gets us in the right mindset as we start the day. And then just being in kind of that meditative prayer throughout your day of not, you know, one of our deacons at Mary Our Queen talks about a lot of times that he'll open his day with prayer and then he's off to his day and he kind of forgets Jesus at home, right? And so let's not do that. Let's not forget Jesus. Let's take him with us to be that counsel and to be that, you know, person that goes with us wherever we go. So when we have those struggles or we have questions or we meet someone, we're out at Costco and we meet someone and they, you know, maybe they're going through a tough time or maybe they're sharing something with us, that some suffering or something of that nature, that we can then help them through it. Just in a simple word or something that we can do to help people that we come in contact every day.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brandon Doty from Mary Our Queen. We are so grateful for this.
You guys are awesome.
Awesome glance at the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and if you missed the first conversation we had with Brandon about the initial gifts, it was on March the 13th, 2025. So you can go to thequestatlanta.com and to the podcast and listen to that again.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's so wonderful to be with you.
Thanks, Brandon.
Coming up, we have Chuck unpacking our saint of the day, Saint Odo of Canterbury, followed by John Henry Spam, who will be talking about living off the land. He's also the host of Honest to God here on The Quest. But coming up next, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, Georgia, unpacks today's gospel.
I'm Dr. Marcus Peter. Coming up at 5 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest, join me for Ave Maria in the afternoon. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:20.
Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ Our King and Savior in Greensboro, is back, and he is going to be reflecting on today's gospel. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you, guys. So good to be here. Today we have we continue reading in the Gospel of John. It says that Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the son frees you, then you will truly be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." Okay.
Wow.
Did we notice it? Did we notice it again this week? Yes. Amen, 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 I say to you.
listen.
Yes, listen. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Sin, brothers and sisters, sin enslaves. Christ says the truth will set you free. And what is the truth? Who is the truth, if not Jesus Christ? And if sin is what enslaves, then it is Christ who sets us free. It is in Christ that we have true freedom. This reminds me of, I might have said this on the show before, I don't remember. I know I've said this from the pulpit hundreds of times. I've talked about it. I love Fulton Sheen. Fulton Sheen has a quote or a little segment he does that I had once saw on one of his TV programs where he talks about freedom. Now, I'm not going to do this justice at all, but he talks about what real freedom looks like, because so many people, you know, we live in a world where the church gets this bad reputation for being, oh, the church is a bunch of rules. Thou shalt not this. Don't do this. Don't do that. It tries to stifle all our fun. It tries to keep us from being really free. And freedom means I can do whatever I want whenever I want. No, that's not what freedom is at all. It's actually
bondage.
Exactly. It's just the opposite. It is bondage. It's that sin. It's that idea that we can do whatever we want without any limitations.
Yeah.
That sin, that sin is what enslaves us. Mm-hmm. And Fulton Sheen explains it like this. He says, these rules, the rules of the church, the God's law, the rules of God, following Christ, you know, that is, Christ is the truth. You know, he will be what sets you free. And when we follow those laws, I think he used the example of a mathematician, or I do anyway. But if you wanted to be a great mathematician, or you wanted to be an accountant or something like that, you are free to do that. But if you took the attitude or the approach, you know what? I'm going to be an accountant. I'm going to be a math teacher. And I think from now on, 2 + 2 = 7. Well, okay, you can think that, and you can be like that.
Yeah.
But you're not free to be a math teacher anymore.
No.
You know, no one's going to hire you at all. And certainly no one's going to hire you to be their accountant.
Yeah.
Or maybe they would. I don't know. So it's that idea that it's those rules, those laws, those things that we conform ourselves to, so to speak, that give us the freedom to be what we want to be. In this case, a math teacher or an accountant. So when you extrapolate that and you look at that in the spiritual life, it's Christ, who is the truth, who, when we conform ourselves to the will of the Father, when we carry that cross, when we follow Christ, when we listen to his words, that's when we become truly free. You know, freed from sin, from bondage, from that enslavement of all these things, free then to be the person we were created to be by God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, guardrails are protective. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, guardrails are not there because, hey, I want total freedom behind this automobile, so I'm going to take a detour off of the highway and, you know, make a shortcut through the woods. Like, no, there's going to be collateral damage if you really want complete autonomy, right? Versus God has set up boundaries to enable us and maximize our freedom and enjoyment and ultimately sanctification.
Yeah, absolutely. It's those guardrails that keep us free to keep moving forward. It's that sin that when we take those rails down and we go off and veer off in this direction, that the paths that God is not asking us to walk down, it's when we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves lost and struggling, and we have that feeling of, well, for lack of better words, that feeling of oppression.
Yes.
You know? And that's where that comes from, you know? I feel oppressed. I feel attacked. I feel like the world's keeping me down. Well, you know why? Because the world is keeping you down.
Yes. No, it's true.
God who lifts you up, you know?
In those situations too, Father, you know, when we are kind of doing worldly things, it pushes us away from God. I mean, it's amazing mm-hmm. how when you're not following him, when you're not following the commandments, how easy it is to kind of push yourself away from Christ and from God, because the guilt kicks in, even if you don't know it. Mm-hmm. There's like a guilty feeling of, oh, you know what? I don't want to think about God, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old Catholic guilt.
Yes. Yes.
I'm half and half. You know what? My father was Jewish and my mother's Christian. And so I've rounded all the bases pretty much, right? Started Jewish, nothing, Protestant,
welcome
now
home,
Catholic.
Josh, welcome home.
But I love that phrase that the Jewish people invented it and Catholics perfected it, right? In terms of guilt. But I know in my past life, and this is a dangerous neighborhood to be in. I've seen, you know, you see it, you experience it, right? Especially mm-hmm. in those, you know, before you have a transformative encounter with Christ, where sin can be so habitual that it almost becomes normal. And St. Alphonsus Liguori has this quote, habitual sin makes the soul blind mm-hmm. so that it no longer mm-hmm. sees the beauty of virtue.
Yeah.
And that's the danger. That's why those guardrails you mentioned, Father, are so important, because I think that the grace that we get, especially through a sacramental rhythm and abiding in Christ, is even if we backslide, it's not comfortable. But before that, you know, it's almost like we have the silencer on our sins to where mm-hmm. it doesn't, you know, that's the dangerous part, when you're in a place and it doesn't even ding your conscience. And as a result, it mutes the beauty that God has placed around us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I say that, I tell people that exactly what you just said all the time. Sin is designed by nature to do exactly what you're saying, mm-hmm. to mute itself, to be on silent, to make us not realize. But it doesn't start like that, you know, mm-hmm. and this is the beauty of grace, is where, let's say you just get out of confession and you're pure as the driven snow. Every little thing you do now your senses are heightened, and you notice how every little mistake, every little sin, you know, I shouldn't have said that to that person. Oh, I was kind of rude. You're more aware of it.
Yeah.
But then as time goes on, you become less and less aware. Like you're saying, everything gets muted. Sin is like this snowball. Mm. Where how the devil works is he'll peck this tiny little thing. You're in the grocery store, somebody cuts you off in traffic or whatever, and you just kind of you have a bad little thought, or you just kind of say, oh, what a jerk, and you just kind of go about your day. And yeah. it's nothing major. It's no mortal sin, but it's a venial thing. And you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But maybe you do it twice the next day. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, a couple days later you do something else, and maybe it's just a little bit worse. Until eventually it just gets worse and worse and worse until you're doing those mortal sins and you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
You know, it's everything's on mute. You're blinded to that grace. You're blinded to that beauty. I tell people, the devil doesn't need you to be some devil-worshipping serial killer. He doesn't need you to do that to get you. He's just got to get you away from God. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot easier to do that with a bunch of little sins than to make you some kind of monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Father, what's a good takeaway for today's gospel?
Today, I would say just everybody reflect over your own freedom. You know, I don't mean that in the political sense. I mean that in the spiritual sense. But reflect over your freedom and ask yourselves, what ways or what things in my life are enslaving me? What things can I look to or can I dress that would give me more freedom to embrace the love of God? Where do I need to have a little more faith? Where do I need to have a little more trust? Where do I need to have a little more mercy or compassion in my life?
Amen.
Thank you so much, Father Adam Blatt, pastor of Christ, our King and Savior. We are truly grateful.
Thank you, guys.
This is your news for the day from Catholic Vote. Despite government censorship of many Christian programs, the Arabic language channel SAT7 USA is providing hope, support, and encouragement for the devastated Christian population in Syria and other Middle Eastern countries. Since the onset of Syrian civil war in 2011, Christian population has plummeted from 1.5 million to approximately 300,000. SAT7's Arabic language talk show You Are Not Alone recently featured Syrian pastor Maher Saman, who emphasized the church's role in rebuilding Syria, stating, "If we leave, how can we rebuild our country?" Additionally, SAT7 offers an Arabic speaking support team to counsel Syrian Christians facing religious sectarianism and terrorist threats. The organization aims to raise awareness of the steep decline of Syrian Christians, the oldest Christian community in the world whose roots trace back approximately 200,000 years. And in a little bit more pop culture news, this is from the Smithsonian.org website. Biotech startup Colossal Biosciences announced the birth of three genetically engineered wolf pups, Romulus, Remus, and Khaleesi, claiming them as the first de-extinct dire wolves. Researchers sequenced DNA from dire wolf fossils and identified 20 genetic differences from modern gray wolves. Using a CRISP gene editing, they modified the gray wolf embryos to express traits like larger size, wider head, and white fur. Then this resulted in, again, what looks like is being claimed to be the first dire wolves in over 13,000 years. Again, some scientists question the validity of these, calling these true dire wolves versus they're more just genetically modified gray wolves. But either way, you can see them online if you would like. They're kind of cute puppies.
Interesting.
Yeah, I might adopt one.
AM 1160, The Quest. Here at Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:34.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck.
You know, April 9th is National Antique Day, or more specifically, National Cherish an Antique Day, a day which seeks to celebrate the history behind antique items and why we collect and enjoy them in the first place. Allison, are you an antique collector?
You know, I do like going into antique stores.
Yeah.
I don't do it often, but it is fun. You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah. Josh?
No, never got into it.
No? There's still time. You're young.
Have I? You know who does do that though? Honestly, my brother.
And he resells.
He resells. He'll go to places, find things that are sort of hidden treasures, mm-hmm. resell them. I mean, I'll find stuff for like $6 at Goodwill and resell it for $100 on the regular.
Yeah.
And one time he's found an item that was made by, it was like a cup. And I think he traced it back to the guy who made the Fabergé egg.
Wow.
So it was like a $6 find or a $10 find that is apparently valued at about $3,000.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so, you know, he knows his stuff for sure. He's got a discerning eye with that.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a great hobby, really.
Well, it is. And now that you're talking about this, St. Odo, he is the patron saint of antique dealers.
That is correct.
What a coincidence.
So you've done your homework.
I got to
done your homework.
Yeah, I got to slip St. Odo to my bro.
Yeah,
to pray for him when he's going to these places
that's
to find
a good point.
His stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Offer those prayers to find a good item. And, you know, I'm sure we have a number of antique collectors who are listening this morning. So, yeah, we thought we would shed some light on St. Odo of Canterbury, mm-hmm. who, as we said, is the not only the patron saint of antique dealers, but a very important and renowned archbishop who reigned during the early days of our church. And it was during the early portion of the 18th century, I should point out, because we can't get off the antique thing yet, that preserving authentic antiques became a skill. But on to our saint of the day, St. Odo of Canterbury, who was, in fact, as I said, the Archbishop of Canterbury from the year 942 until his death in 958. He was born to Danish parents in East Anglia. He joined a Benedictine monastery at Fleurs-et-Dolorès and then was appointed Bishop of Ramsbury in Wessex. As mentioned, Odo became Archbishop of Canterbury in the year 942. And this was really his crowning achievement. It's important to point out that the Archbishop of Canterbury has what is known as metropolitical authority, which is a supervisory authority for defined purposes in relation to all bishops and clergy in those 30 dioceses of southern England. As a point of reference, the Archbishop of York has that same authority in relation to the 14 dioceses in northern England. He assisted in the formulation of key legislation in support of King Edmund and Edgar the Peaceful.
Huh.
I like that name, Edgar the Peaceful.
Yeah.
He created as a separate diocese the region of East Anglia, so he got involved in the geographical splitting up of dioceses. He gave his blessings to the monastic reforms of St. Dunstan, another future saint, St. Dunstan of Glastonbury, thereby promoting the revival of monasticism in England. He's also known as Odo the Good because of his famed holiness. He was also credited with many, many miracles. Odo also issued constitutions or rules for his clergy. So we see a man at the beginning laying the groundwork for his order. He reworked some statutes from the year 786, going back maybe 100 or so years from his time, to perform his updated code, writing on such matters as the duties of bishops, the need for the laity to make canonical marriages, how to observe fasts, and the need for tithing. The Archbishop died on June 2nd in the year 958, as mentioned, and his feast day is on the 4th of July.
Oh.
So there you have it, St. Odo of Canterbury.
Pray for us. No, I'm just kidding. We're not done yet. Well, super interesting.
But pray for us anyway.
But, you know, don't we see this? This kind of, this is a recurring theme where people who maybe have the intention of living a monastic life or a life of solitude and servitude towards our Lord, kind of being an unsung character within the narrative structure of the church, end up being called out to more public ministry because they get flagged for their holiness.
Mm-hmm. Flagged for holiness.
Yeah.
That should be the title of your autobiography. You've been flagged for holiness.
Or my other title, I'm not going to brag, but I'm really humble.
Yes. Humility, we talk about it all
we
the time.
Sure did, Josh.
Said Vincent Ferrer yesterday.
Like, yes. Maybe that's my, yeah, that my autobiography will be Josh Harris, the most humble saint. And how bold of a title would that be? You write it and you're not even canonized yet. That's
That is the sin of presumption, I think.
Yeah. Time anyway. To go to confession again.
Yeah, that's funny.
No, but it is true, Josh. You know, we do see this. There's these men who just want to live the life of solitude, mm-hmm. go to the monastery, pray, reflect, maybe write. But they're called to greater things, and they always answer the call because that is their vocation, to be a servant. So we see that a lot with the saints,
But you also see that the other way, too, right? Sometimes there's people who want to be out front.
Yes.
And God says, no, 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 no. you really want to serve me, stay a little bit more behind the scenes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? And that's that litany of humility. That I think that there's a few lines in there that are particularly powerful. In fact, I'm going to let Chuck get to the next point because I actually want to find that prayer and read just a snippet of it really quick.
Yeah, and I think especially during this Lenten season, we want to make sure it would be a good prayer for all of us to just reflect on whether or not we're being docile to the moving of the Holy Spirit, whether we're answering to our vocation. Mm-hmm. There's that one prayer I think Thomas Merton offers where he says, Lord, I don't know if I am doing your will, but by virtue of the fact, paraphrasing, by virtue of the fact that I'm trying to do your will, I know it pleases you. Mm-hmm. But then the prayer goes on to talk about having greater spiritual vision to be able to see what it is that God wants from us in our lives.
And sometimes he is asking more than we think we can handle. But again, with his assistance and with trust and prayer.
Yeah, we receive the grace we need at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So these are a few lines from the Litany of Humility. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I unnoticed, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. So at the end of this stanza, you might think, well, at least I'm very holy. I'm the holiest of everybody, right? that last bastion of pride sneaks in. Well, the Litany of Humility, the author of it, definitely, I'm assuming, had a sneaking suspicion that might come up. So this is the last phrase, that others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
All right. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. And this all flies in the face of what we're hearing in the mainstream world. It's so countercultural.
Yeah.
You know, to be not recognized for accomplishments, to be not lauded and worshipped and praised for good things.
It's, yeah.
Totally flies in the face of what the world's telling you.
Well, even just the increase of people on social media, right? Being out there, want to be a star, want to be the next Joe Rogan, et cetera. Yeah. You know, everybody is just out to be in front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, he was famous for promoting liturgical beauty, discipline among clergy, and charity towards the poor. So you know what's interesting about all those things? We talk about the Litany of Humility. All these things he's most known for don't have anything to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
It's other-minded.
Yeah.
It's other-centered, right? It's how do I magnify the beauty of the church? How do I lift up the goodness and dignity of my brother priests? How do I elevate awareness for the poor and their needs? True greatness is other-minded, others-centered, right? It's a very simple phrase. I heard a mentor of mine say, Josh, when I think about myself, I get depressed. When I think about others, all that changes.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty profound. Yep. And of course, our Lord tells us that you know, those who serve others are the greatest in the kingdom. And we see that with St. Odo of Canterbury. He achieves the greatest attribute, the greatest accolade one can achieve, and that is sainthood.
So I think it's fair to say that Odo was no dodo.
I think that's very safe to say. St. Odo of Canterbury.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest. Finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
So earlier in this segment, we brought up this story of a group claiming to de-extinct the dire wolf, which touches on emerging genetic science. And just to clarify, I want to make sure everyone hears this. The Catholic Church has not taken an official stance on this particular issue. What the Church consistently teaches is the importance of approaching all scientific advancements with moral clarity. You know, always respecting the natural order, the dignity of creation, and the sanctity of human life. So as long as such efforts don't involve unethical manipulation of human embryos or violate core moral principles, the Church encourages thoughtful discernment rather than blanket approval or condemnation. So definitely bring all these things to prayer, your pastor. But just want to say, if you find a dire wolf that acts like a golden retriever, I'm fostering.
Like a golden doodler.
A golden doodle, yeah, that maybe vicious once it reaches maturity, yes.
Okay, good to know. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Coming up, we have our dear friend John Henry Spann, host of Honest to God, who will be talking about his family living off the land.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to the Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It's 8:48. I'm here with John Henry Spann, host of Honest to God and Dean of Academics, am I correct, for John Bosco Academy?
That's me, Josh. Super pumped to be here. Thanks for having me back.
I am honored. I am in the principal's office right now. No, you're not the principal, though.
No. I'm the Dean of Academics, and I'm not sure what that means. I mean, I know what I do, but it ranges from I teach a couple of classes, I deal with transcript stuff, I unclogged the toilet in the pre-K room the other day. A kid puked in the handicap stall recently. I cleaned that up, too. So, jack of all trades kind of deal.
We were talking a little bit earlier, and I was just kind of fascinated by... You live off the grid.
Right. Well, we're connected to the grid. We have one electrical line, so I have power to my house. I couldn't get the generator. I couldn't afford the generator when we finished building the new house.
But no internet.
No internet.
No cable TV.
Nothing, right.
In the woods.
Yes.
On a mountain.
It's a party, yeah.
Yep. And so you guys are kind of like the Davy Crockett starter kit in some ways.
Yeah, I know so many people who do it so much better than we do. That being said, that is the aspiration, right?
Okay, but another thing is you guys kind of live off the land in some ways, right? I mean, you have livestock, you have some animals, and you even hunt and trap some animals, right? in the area, is that correct?
Yeah, so, and can I just kind of dig into the philosophy of that sometimes?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I know when people hear the word hunting, right, a lot of times people have some really negative images that come to mind, and I get that, right? I really do understand that. Angie and I first decided to sort of take much more onus in what we put into our bodies and our children's bodies after we watched one of those documentaries about how awful factory farming is, right?
Yeah.
And after kind of thinking about it and praying about it, right, we're called to be stewards of God's creation, right? Mm-hmm. That is a big part of what we are supposed to do. And this is not an attack on anybody who is listening. Different folks, different walks of life, different means. I get all of that. But I sort of had this moment of watching the way that animals are treated for factory farming to feed however many 8 billion people live on Earth. And I thought, that is not what being a good steward of his creation is. And if I can, I want to minimize that. I want to make sure that not only the animals I'm eating, do I want them to eat them and then to be nutritious and healthy, but I want to make sure those animals are healthy. I want to make sure those animals are taken care of and treated with respect. And so I think we started just with buying a flock of chickens. Chickens are a gateway animal. Egg chickens turned into meat chickens, turned into turkeys, turned into ducks, turned into dairy goats. We started to do all of these things, right? And then I realized that I have zero desire to raise, you know, giant cows out in my yard, and I didn't have the space at the time. Yeah. And so I said that we were going to start getting our meat predominantly from the woods. And so now 100% of our red meat are deer that live in the woods around my house, and it's a couple out of state every now and then.
100%?
Yeah, we don't buy red meat from the store.
No cow, no steak, no...
Right now I've got 200 pounds of alligator in my freezer, too, which is taking the place of the fact that I've had a bad season so far.
200... You hunted this alligator?
Yes, yeah. My son and I and a college buddy went down to Lake Eufaula and we got a gator. It took me 8 years to draw a tag and do all that piece, but yeah.
Wow. What does gator taste like?
I always tell people it tastes kind of like fishy chicken. Yeah, it's... From a consistency standpoint, it's tougher. It's tougher than chicken, but it's good. And I got it processed, and it's all... We do everything in our house. I didn't do the alligator myself, but with the deer, we shoot a deer, and then it's, all right, guys, what we're doing today is turning this deer into steaks and ground and all that stuff, sometimes jerky, and moving this deer into the freezer, and it's a party.
Wow, so you are saving yourself a bunch of trips through the drive-through, trips to the store, because you actually have frozen all this meat that you've caught yourself.
I have a freezer about half the size of this room that is chock full of meat, yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty great. And I love it because not only is it good for me, right? Like, I get to go out and sit quietly in creation, right? And selfishly, I enjoy that. I enjoy the solitude to be by myself. I do pray when I'm out there. But as my son and one of my daughters has gotten older, now I'm getting to spend this great quality time doing a thing that they really want to do that is also really good for us and contributes to our family. And, I mean, organic, grass-fed, fair, free-range, whatever all the buzzwords were. When I take the life of an animal, I'm doing it ethically. I know that it's going to die quickly. I know it's a lot better than a car or coyotes or some disease, right? And I know that it's going to go to a good purpose and it's going to be respected. We actually, as cheesy as it sounds, we do a little prayer every time we kill a deer. It's always, thank you, Mr. Deer. And then we thank Jesus for the deer and all of that stuff. And so my kids go from there's a deer in the woods to I shot the deer in the woods to, hey, this meatloaf is from that deer that I shot in the woods. Mm. It's really beautiful.
Well, and I think that would be my hang up, even though, again, I'm not speaking on behalf of the church or anything. But, for instance, if I was just out there taking out deer like they owed me money and that was it.
Right.
But the fact that you're being resourceful with this, right?
Yeah,
and you're feeding your family.
4 a year will feed all of us for the year.
How many?
4.
That's it?
Yeah, we shoot 4 deer. I mean, deer are big. Right?
Wow. So, I mean, the fact that you are, dare I say, but the deer is not dying in vain. I mean,
right.
You know, it's giving you life, right?
Yes.
So I feel like that is maximizing resourcefulness and honoring God's creation in a lot of ways.
Well, I want to say this, too, because you hear a lot of people who will use the word trophy hunter like a pejorative, right?
Yeah.
I am 100% a trophy hunter. I go out and I try to shoot the biggest buck with the biggest set of antlers. And I can give you lots of reasons that sound really nice about, like, well, he's larger and his genes are already out in the gene pool and all these things. Mostly it's because he looks really, really cool, right? He looks really, really cool, and I like the challenge, and I like the pursuit. That being said, that deer is given the same respect that the doe with no antlers, right, is given and is turned into something that's going to feed my family.
And you've gotten to do some hunting in the Serengeti, is that correct, in Africa?
Kalahari Desert.
Kalahari Desert.
Yeah.
That's
so
in Africa.
Been over to Namibia to do that, yeah. It's different over there because the whole hunting conservation system over there is different than the United States. It basically revolves around preventing the locals from killing all the animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of that herd of wildebeest, let's say, that's walking through your land and eating the grass that your goats graze on and eating the crops that you've managed to plant out here in the middle of the desert, right? Instead of them just being a nuisance that's made of meat, right? Many countries, not all, but many countries in Africa have said, no, local guys, please leave the animal alone. Some guy's going to come over from the United States. He's going to pay money for a tag for that animal. He's going to shoot that animal. We're only allowed to eat the meat that we can consume while we're in camp. So we eat on it there. Then all the meat goes to the locals. And you'll find, Botswana is a great example. Anybody can look this up, that the game population in Botswana has gone up tremendously since they re-legalized hunting over there maybe a decade or so ago.
So that's actually been beneficial for the prosperity of the species versus when poachers were out there themselves.
Yeah, it puts a value on the animal other than the protein that you can get off of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really positively affected the fauna throughout Southern Africa. You can read this. You can look it all up. There's a great book that I read. I forget the name of the author. He's a University of Georgia professor. I think he's a biologist. It's called Bringing Back the Lions. And it's about how hunting has rejuvenated ecosystems in Africa.
Mm, man, yeah. Thank you so much, my
Absolutely,
friend.
Absolutely, dude.
Where can people find out more about the school you teach at and or your podcast?
Yeah, great question. So the school is St. John Bosco Academy. You can Google it. It's here in Atlanta, the Atlanta area. And the podcast/radio show is called Honest to God. It is here on The Quest, I believe 4 o'clock p.m. on Saturdays. And then if somehow you miss it, it's also available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much, my friend. Until next time.
Thanks, Josh. Always fun.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And sometimes, Dave.
Every now and then.
And here he is.
At 8:56.
Man, I've turned everybody in this Quest studio into zoologists, I guess. With
you
my
have.
Exotic animal excitement. I was thinking of adopting a sugar glider. Have you heard of those?
Just from you.
Yeah. It's like a flying squirrel, but it's a marsupial. and they bond to you pretty heavily. And so, you know, you can like keep it in your pocket and cruise around with it. And but the thing is, they get so attached. There's videos of people just being at the park launching these things up into the air, like
they're like a boomerang. And they just throw it up and they just
they look like a bat coming back. Yeah, they fly right back to you. I saw the picture you showed me.
It's like a combo of a squirrel, possum, bat. Yeah.
And they're cute.
They are adorable.
Very cute. Yeah. So
nocturnal though. So if you get them, you got to get them in a pair because they need somebody around.
Yeah.
And they need to be hidden so they don't wake you up and keep you up all night long.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I'm going to do a GoFundMe for my sugar glider campaign. All right, we're going to close on a high note, people. John 8:12, our memory verse of the week. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.